Let me bang.
I do let you bang.
Let me bang you, Jesus, man.
Let you bang.
Let you bang.
Let you bang.
Greetings, marriage and virgins.
Go for Jesus. No, forget Jesus, people.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again for your favorite mixed martial arts podcast. Recording out of Los Angeles, California, it's MMA Roasted with Adam Hunter.
Who the fuck is that guy?
Who the fuck is that? Hey, welcome to a MMA Roasted podcast. Me, Adam Hunter, here with Greg Romero Wilson. It's going to be a great show. Life is good, man. Life is good. Although I got into my daughter was up at, you know, 4 a.m. last night, which means I was up before sleeping with her. And then at 8 to get her ready for school. And now she's in this, like, I'm not brushing my teeth phase.
And, oh, boy.
Like, I hate my teeth. My dad has fake teeth because we're all grinders. I had a dentist ask me if I was on meth one time. And I was like,
oh,
I'm like, that's always a good sign, you know?
You know, it's one thing. It's one thing when one of your boys is like, "Jesus, what are you on about?" It's another thing when a dental professional,
yeah,
who looks at you all day, is like, "Are you on meth? Do I need to call a counselor for you right now?"
I was like, "Why do you have?" And then my like sister, she. So anyway, so I want my daughter to learn to brush her teeth right. She's only 2 and a half, but you know, I know they're gonna fall out anyway. So, but I'm trying to get her into that habit, and she won't do it. Like, she's like, no, you know, I want, you know, so now I'm like, brush your teeth or you're going to get a timeout, you know, and now her timeouts are funny. She goes into a room and just laughs, you know, so now I'm like Googling, how do I get my kid to brush her teeth? And they're like, well, make it fun, put it on her nose. So I did that. And then now it's a comedy routine. And then I'm brushing my teeth instead. So now it's like we're having like a face off, you know, it's a standoff. Who could budge first? She's going to be late for school. I'm like, you're going to be late for school, but she's happy about that too. You know, everything that I'm saying is like enticing her to not brush her teeth. I'm like, Brie, will you help me? And my wife, she's like, I have to work. And she's yelling at me. She's like, you know, but I'm like, but you got her to brush teeth last time. She goes, you couldn't do my job for 30 seconds. I'm like, what? I'm like, do you understand? I stood up a fucking street for 5 years giving out flyers when people spit on me to become, you know how many jobs I've been fired from as a comic to get to? So now it's a whole thing. So she finally brushed her teeth, but Jesus Christ. My wife held her mouth open and said, don't do that. And just, so not that I called Scott Baio, because he's a buddy of mine. And I'm like, how did you get your daughter to brush her teeth? And then she told me, oh, Renee, the wife, said, you got to take her, let her choose her own toothbrush. Like, that's the thing. It's like, I take her to go pick out a toothbrush herself. And then the chihuahua that hates me, I'm Googling, how do I get my chihuahua to like me? Because this thing grrs at me, even though I'm the one that walks him, I'm the one that feeds him, I'm the one that got him.
You built quite a life for yourself out there. Adam, you've done quite a job on yourself.
But they said, what you want to do is, you know, right now, it knows that my wife's the one that feeds him. I have to establish myself as I'm the one that likes food for him. So yeah. I'm like, so I tell my wife that. She's like, well, yeah, you and it. She's like, you and he both. Because she's like, she feeds me too, basically. So right. It's a whole, you know, so now we're, it's just like, anyway, what are you going to do?
What are you going to do? Where were you this weekend? Were you on the road?
No, I did a show. What did I do? I did a show at the Haha Saturday.
Right.
I saw you there. I
think That's right. In fact, did you get a haircut since then?
Yes.
I was going to say, because when I saw you, I was like, God damn, his hair is long. And then I just saw you right now, and I'm like, and God damn, his hair is short.
No, they said that me and you were the only ones that had good sets. There was like 15 comics there, and they said Adam and Greg are the only ones that killed. Because that it's like, the Haha is great right now, but it's still so much better inside than outside.
Oh, absolutely, because they have the sound restraint, so it isn't super loud the way we like it. And they also, you know, outdoors – laughter just goes straight up into the air. It doesn't, no one hears it, you know, it doesn't, you know, compress. It doesn't congregate. So.
And like subtle jokes aren't working. Like anything they have, like you have to really very like presentational, you know, like I feel like, and that's what I realized within 3 minutes of being on stage. I'm like, okay, they're not getting like the jokes you got to think, like the low energy jokes. I'm like, I really have to kind of be a little broad. And then I was able to kind of like push it, you know, and then I started killing. But a lot of comics are up there and they're like, fuck, why aren't they laughing? And they just fall apart, you know? Yeah. That's the thing about being a good comic is like being a good quarterback. It's like, you know, Tom Brady can throw three fucking picks in a row, still have an amazing game afterwards because he's right. the first to adjust. Floyd Mayweather can lose the first three rounds and win the win the next nine. But certain people, they get into like a bad space and they can never recover. So that's
Donald Cerrone.
Donald Cerrone. My wife's walking in right now and like playing with her boobs and trying to distract.
Nice.
Me. Yeah.
But nice.
Fuck with me, and I'm like. So I do that to her, but she's on a Zoom call. I come and like hang the brain or something just to be
nice. Good. Yeah, I do that. I do that to the wife sometimes too.
Very mature. We're very mature.
I call it Dick Wiglin time, and I just start waving my dick in her. And I have a song. I'm like, Dick Wiglin time! Dick Wiglin time!
There was a kid at my boarding school that, like, they used to hang hang the brain, where you come out with your
hanging out. Your balls.
And there was a kid in a school meeting that stood up and said, there's no hanging the brain during a school meeting while doing it. And that was his like announcement. And he got booted pretty quick, that kid.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, very funny. I don't know, man. The road is like right now, like cruise ships just started again. And they're like, hey, you want your cruises? But like, I mean, man, it's just cruise ships were great when I was like single, you know?
Yeah.
And it was like fun. Although one time I had a girlfriend, my ex-girlfriend, and we, you know, there was like three Asian bachelorette parties, and they were on the dance floor, and I was just they were like grabbing me, and I was being faithful, but I was dancing with all of them, and they're like, hey, come back to our room, and like, you could bang all of us, basically, and I didn't, and I still regret that.
Can I tell you, that's the thing, when you break up with somebody, you regret all the puss you passed up on when you were together. You're like, god damn, I passed up that one, and I passed up that, and that, for all for you, and you always think about
those. You try to go back sometimes, and it's never.
Oh yeah, you try back, and yes, the window does not stay open. The window is firmly closed by the time you get back to it.
Oh god, it's ridiculous.
But I thought on cruise ships, like the big rule was you can't hook up with the...
Because the Indian staff, they take it very seriously. Like, they go around trying to bust you. They think it's like, this is like, they're like, you know, Beverly Hills Cop or something. So you have to like, I used to have to get like a hoodie. Like, the breakdancers told me what to do. Because the breakdancers are the guys getting all the pussy. Because
they're slammed.
They're with the moms all the time, or they're with the girls, or the cougars. So one time they actually, these two breakdancers, Curly Fries and someone else, We were in the Bahamas, and they took these girls and they went skinny dipping in the ocean at like 2 a.m. because it overnighted in the Bahamas, and local Bahamian guys stole their clothes while they were in the ocean. So they all had to go back to the ship naked. but you'd have to like get a hoodie, right? And you'd have to get a hoodie and you'd have to like go to the top deck, which is weird because the girl's like, hey, you want to hook up? And you have to go to like top deck with a hoodie on and get like a handy overlooking the ocean. So she thinks you're gonna like throw her off. It was very hard. And then I did that one time and realized that I might be on security cameras, which go to everyone's room. Like everyone has like channel 7 on the cruise.
A view of the whole thing.
Yeah, I think everyone just saw me get a handy on fucking, you know. But it was, I mean, I used to work some funny cruises. The cruise, I always wanted to make a TV show about it because it was like, it really was crazy because you had like the Eastern European girls that worked in like one part, and they'd like love the black dudes, black comedians, because I guess they didn't not a lot of black guys in Slovakia, so those guys were fucking cleaning house there. And then the bottom of the ship, you had like the Thai people and like the Filipinos, and there was like sort of a rivalry going on. And then you had like the Italian Navy that worked on the top of the ship because they were like the people driving it. And the dancers wanted to hook up with them because then they got like a top view if they move in of the ship. Like, that was a big thing for them. It was it's like a whole other fucking world. One time I worked with this guy who, this comedian who like, he had like the worst game, but the best game, kind of like McCorkle, where he was like this jack guy and he would go up to girls and flex and he'd go, it's going to happen. It's going to happen, while making a muscle. And he would like bang like 30% of these girls. Like, it was, I couldn't believe it. So he would just try to get every girl's number on the ship and give out their. So he went up to one girl who looked like she was like 25. Turned out the girl was like 16. She did look older. Ooh. But the girl told her grandma, and the grandma told security, and they breathalyzed the guy. It was his day off, and he was drunk. So then he got, like, locked in his cruise, in his room. So yeah. I had to cover all his shows. I had to do, like, 27 shows that week, and I had to sneak him Ambien because he couldn't sleep, and he was on steroids and drunk the whole time. And then he got, like, flown off the island in the helicopter. That was a fucking
yeah. Joke. They get yeah. If you offend the passengers, that's what happens. They lock you. They fly you off. That's what I heard.
Then there was a well-known comedian I know who this black dude who like took a girl back to his room. That was the you don't want to take girls back to your room. There's too many people around. But this dude did it, and then it was time to like disembark the ship. But it was like 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning, and they like slept through it. So now there's a girl missing, from the ship. So now they have like all the dogs out and the security. They're looking for the get to his room, right? And they're like, "Hey, have you seen this girl?" He wakes up. He's like, "So she hides in the fucking closet, right? She's naked right. in the closet, right?" And he's like, "No, I don't know." So then the dogs start barking. They open up the closet and she's naked in there. And he's like, "How'd she get in there?"
We've all been there.
He was like, because I'm black or something. Like he started saying because it was black. That's
oh
like,
yeah.
He got banned. But anyway, McCorkle, how are you?
Doing good, man. How you doing? Sorry I was late, man. It's couldn't say no to my daughter. She showed up like literally at 2:45. Well, 2:45 my time. Like, hey, that's such a surprise. I'm like, great. I'm starting a podcast in 15 minutes. So I felt bad. So
how did you
get? Nice. Got to spend some time with her.
How did you get her to brush her teeth when she was 2 or 3?
Actually my kids just did what I told them to do all the time because I didn't take no for an answer. Like you got told once and then you got spanked. And then I only had to spank my kids maybe 2 or 3 times ever because they knew the first time I said it to do it or they would get a swat. So, sometimes the disapproval is, I mean, I would never hurt them physically, but the disapproval is more of a deterrent than a, you know, the physical beating they endured. But, yeah, no, it's, I didn't negotiate with my kids on anything.
That's horrible. They're like 250 pounds.
Yeah. I didn't negotiate on anything. My kids, and it actually saved my son's life. I think I told you that before. He was running one day at a birthday party and I saw a car flying up the street at 70 miles an hour. He was chasing a ball. And I said, "Trey, stop." Like he was 4 years old. He stopped on a dime, did not move. And the car went within like 8 feet of him at 70 miles an hour. And then I tried to get the license plate cause I was going to murder that person later, but I didn't get it. So, but it's, I don't know, man. I didn't tolerate, and my kids, I mean, I didn't beat them. I didn't abuse them, but they knew when I said it, you do it the first time. There was no negotiation. You do what I tell you to do. So.
Yeah. I never spanked my daughter. I'm not going to spank her. I just can't.
It's hard, man. I'll tell you what though, when she gets 11 or 12 years old, take her phone. That is the best. I took my daughter's phone one time. She was devastated for like 5 days. It was all she talked about. I please have my phone back. I was like, she should have been mouthy with me, you know? But she never did it again. She didn't want to lose that phone. So.
Damn. All right. So let's talk about, oh, by the way, on the worst part about the cruise ships though, is if you bomb, you're stuck with them all day long. Like
right. they see you. Yeah.
And they want to tell you how they think like Amy Schumer's funny or Chris, whatever. Like,
or they want to give you tips. You know what you should do is instead of doing, oh, that's the worst. You're like, you know what? It works all the other times. Okay, lady.
The worst.
Come see me again. Come to the 10 o'clock.
Nothing. Or I have to do kid shows. You do G-rated shows.
Right.
And then I would get heckled by parents on kid shows. That was the one, because I don't mind getting, I'm heckled by a 3-year-old. I'm like 4, would I get it? My dad tried, like, not funny. I'm like, let's do this again at 10.
Yes.
They never.
I did want to tell you guys, my son went to a clean comedy club last night or 2 nights ago, and he was sending me clips. It was, I mean, I wouldn't say anything as bad as Brendan Schaub, but it was close. Like, this guy was like, my wife wanted to take me on furniture shopping. And I was like, yeah, let's go shopping. That's what I want to do. That was his punchline. And then he's like, let's go find something for me to put my feet on when I watch TV. Right, guys? Like, he was just saying, and my son was like in tears laughing because it was so bad. And so now my son's working on an act. He's going to try it. He said, if those guys can do that, he said, I'm going to get up there. He said, I can't be worse than them. So
that's the problem.
Well, that's true. And that, I guess that's the silver lining of all that.
Right.
But it's also, you know, they basically sold him a lie too, because, you know, they're not doing comedy. So,
right.
You know, I mean, yeah, they're going to do better, but it's pretty low bar. It doesn't mean he's, I mean, you want to do good. So, right. But hopefully he will. If he's anything like you, he's got a shot.
I got a complaint on a weed dispensary show. I offended someone. They're like, you know, these comics are too, this guy's too sexist and blah, 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 blah. And I'm just like, you know, it's gotten to the point now where like, that's where it's going, Sean. It's like, do you want to have everybody, you go out and you're like, hey, guess what? Tonight I'm going to not be offended. Or guess what? I'm not going to have to think. Or I'm not going to this. But you're not going to laugh either a lot of times. It's like,
yeah,
we're just catering to the person who, or it's like somebody that like is offended by something and then they like tag your brand, your business, place of work, but they were never going to come to your show anyway.
Right.
Yeah. It's like me protesting like tampons. Like, hey, it's like, what am I going to, anyway, it's fucking ridiculous. Let's talk about fights. All right. By the way, speaking of which, Mayhem's out of jail today. So,
is he done or he's got to go back?
No, he's done. He's coming back today.
I was going to say, wait a minute. Do they do that? Do they do little overnights?
I just didn't know if he was out on bail.
What kind of prison is like, all right, listen, we're going to give you a night, go out having a damn, but we expect you back by the morning. All right?
Mayhem's out of jail today. I'm happy for him. I spoke to him. He seems like he's doing pretty well. He's been boxing. I guess he was boxing. There was a fight club in jail or something he joined. He said he was doing very well in there. He said some Mexican dude that was like 250, like hip tossed him, but he got up and submitted him. So he wants to fight Jake Paul. That's his thing. So we're going to.
Everybody does. Everybody.
If it's not Baroni. I told him about Aaron Carter versus Lamar Odom. He was dying laughing about that fight. It's gonna happen. And then we got to talk about Diego Sanchez's trainer because it's gotten weirder. Just when you think, okay, it's over. Diego Sanchez's trainer, the guy like basically found Diego when Diego was at an all-time low. He was divorced. He was losing. He was this, that. He wasn't getting work at Greg Jackson's. Blah, blah, blah. This guy comes in. According to Diego, this guy submitted him in 45 seconds in a wrestling match. I have to see that. I don't believe that happened. Maybe he got lucky. I don't get it. So because of that, Diego is just swore by this guy. So now this guy wanted to see all Diego's health records from the UFC, and they were like backing up. They cut Diego, paid him anyway, gave him $210,000, but that's what he was getting for the fight. But now he says he's now enlisting into the mental health thing at the UFC's thing because he said, hey, Bellator, bare knuckle boxing, PFL, I'm here. It didn't seem like anyone was really jumping at the, you know, to get the guy because he also comes with a lot of baggage, hence the trainer. The guy went to the trainer meeting. He got into it with Paul Felder, Megan Olivi. He tried to say, listen, you know, you guys are not talking about Diego the right way, which you can't tell people how to talk about someone else. And then there was a video, I don't know if you saw it, Sean, where Diego is upside down.
Yeah, getting smacked. Yeah.
And just kicking him in the head. I don't even know what – I'm speechless on that one. Even John Jones is like, this is fucked up. Like, when John Jones says this is fucked up, things are fucked up, you know.
Oh, shit. If anybody's going to be like, I got to try that, it's John Jones.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel really bad for him because I think that he's – it's like somebody says Donald Cerrone called him a cult leader, and I pretty much that describes the guy. I mean, it seems like he just is one of these guys that is just has Diego under his spell, and everyone can see it but him. Sean.
He's got to be the only non-charismatic cult leader in the world. Like, that dude sucks. Like, he, I don't know, man. He's the worst. And, you know, but Diego, I mean, I don't know Diego personally. He's never quite been all there, even back in the old days. I mean, there, I don't know if you remember when he was using stevia to purify his water. Do you guys remember Dan Quinn?
Yeah.
Was on the stevia thing. One time Diego Sanchez is talking about he's been using stevia, and everybody thinks he's joking. And he pans the camera back, and Dan Quinn is at his house mixing up water. So he was training with Dan Quinn 15 years ago, you know? So, I mean, I don't know. He's Diego's his own guy, man. I don't know what's going on there. That guy is that guy he's with is so obviously it's all about him. That's what everyone had a problem with the fighter meeting. They kept saying, why are the commentator meeting, why do you keep making this about you? Like, why do you keep talking about, oh, you're disparaging my name? Like, who are you, you know? And same thing, he got into it with Matt Serra, and Matt Serra's like, I don't even know who you are, dude. Like, what are you talking to me for? I don't know who you are. Like, that guy sucks. I don't know, man. I feel for Diego.
Yeah, Greg?
It seems like there are certain trainers and managers in UFC that do seem to take on a certain, you know, kind of allegiance from certain fighters that everyone else looks at and goes like, well, that's fucked up. I mean, we saw it with Ronda Rousey and that one guy. And then that one manager that I think, I don't know, is he Khabib's manager? He's got a lot of big fighters. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, this guy makes Coach Edmund look like Greg Jackson. At least Edmund, yeah. You know, say what you want about him. He didn't know much about, I would say, MMA, but he knew about boxing, and he seems to be somewhat skilled. He's not kicking the guy when he's upside down, you know, or right. Whatever. Or there's a video of
that him. We know about.
I mean, he's chasing these guys around with a knife. Like he's in a knife in an octagon with a knife chasing it. It's like, what the fuck?
You know? if you can dodge a knife. You can dodge a punch.
I wish you would have said what I thought about Diego Aspin. I would have said, well, I hate to kick a guy when he's upside down. I wish I would have thought the same. I just now thought of it, so it's unfortunate.
You doubled back to it. You made it.
I remember one time I flew to Toledo to do a show. I took 3 flights. It must have been like, I don't know, 6 in the morning. There's nobody in the airport except for Diego Sanchez. and I was like, Diego, what are you doing here? And he's like, he was going to a church. He was giving a speech at a church with Vitor Belfort. They were on like the church circuit, and this was like
what kind of a church? A church? Is this one of those churches that's how they get away with selling weed? Is that what it is?
Weed would be the fucking, you know. So yeah. So all right. So the fights that went on: Michelle Waterson versus Rodriguez. I thought it was a good, solid fight, entertaining. You know, Michelle had her moments, you know, a couple of those crazy corrects. I just think she's too small for 125. That girl just looks so much bigger than her. And
way bigger than her. We're just punching straight down into her face.
It seems like Waterson's one of those people that's, like, always going to be, like, number 3 or 4. And is this going to be right there around that
yeah,
area?
Yeah.
Won't become the champion for some, you know, but will always put up a good fight. And be entertaining, and she's hot. I mean, her nickname is Karate Hottie. Then it kind of takes away from it, the Karate Hottie. When you call yourself the Karate Hottie, I'm sure she didn't give herself a nickname. I feel like I want to give her the nickname, you know, versus someone giving themselves the Karate Hottie. But, I mean, she's a good-looking girl. And
that'd be crazy if someone called himself Big Sexy.
Yeah, right, exactly. meanwhile, Cowboy Cerrone... I think he trained for Diego. I think he would have beaten Diego Sanchez. And then when Diego fucking bailed out a week before, he got fucked. Because he would have beaten Diego that night. I mean.
Unless Diego turned upside down, then we have no idea.
If he got upside down
the fight, there's no telling what happened. If he walked on his hands to him, could have been trouble.
And everyone's like, well, we got to give him one more fight. I'm like, why do we have to give him another fight? So he goes out and to win. And the guy's won so many fights.
Right, that's the thing is, if he does win the next fight, then he's gonna be like, "Great, see, I told you, give me the fight." Like the only way for a guy like this to go out is on a loss. That's the only thing that's gonna put him out. And this is a pretty bad. I had a feeling too, man. I had a feeling this Morono guy. I was like, this guy's young. He's hungry. He knows this is his step up moment. I could see it in his eyes. But then, you know who talked me out of it? The fucking announcers, where they're like, he was so prepared for fucking Diego. He trained harder. He wanted to eat his face off. And now this poor guy's going to get it instead. And they talked me off of it. I was like, oh, maybe there's something here I didn't see. And then he went out there and got pummeled.
He also trained with Diego for years. So he knew, obviously, if he accepted the fight, he knew what was going to happen, I think. You know, when you train with him for years versus Morono, you know, and he wants to go down to 55. I get it. I just think you're right. He's also notoriously bad with money. Like at one point he had one of those like things that were, you're on the lake and you could like jet fucking fly over.
Yeah. The water jet pack. Yeah.
I mean, he seems like he's just terrible with money, which is the worst reason to fight is when you're out of money. Because that's when you get hurt. It seems like a lot of these guys are like, oh, I could pick up a paycheck for whatever and go back. I don't know. I gotta
tell you, if I did one of those water jet packs, I'm pretty sure I'd just shoot myself to the bottom of the lake. I let him go. I go like this and go. I'd be at the bottom like, up.
I don't know. I mean, certain people like, it's hard. You know, like everyone says, you think Cejudo should come back. Obviously, Cejudo would fuck everybody up if he came back. But the guy.
He's got a ton of tread on the tires still.
Well, that, yes, but at the same time, he was a 4-time state champion. He's been wrestling since he was, like, 5. He won the Olympics. He's a 2-time world champion. So he's been doing this for like 20 years almost, nothing but this. He knows when it's time to hang it up. Like I like it when guys go out on top. I like it when I don't like seeing like Ben Askren going in for a money grab against Jake Paul, especially when that fight made no sense to me because Ben Askren made so much money in ONE FC. He also has fucking 5 wrestling academies. He's got Bitcoin when it was like 8 cents or something. He lives in Wisconsin. I don't think he owns a farm. Like, I understand you can get $500,000, you get $500,000. But at another point, it's like, well, is getting knocked out even really worth that money to take time out? I don't know. CTE?
Yes.
It is? You think so?
Without question.
Really?
Well, I also don't think
he's going to get knocked out. So. Yeah. I think he absolutely knew his job was to go in there and get knocked out. But I think that, why do you think every one of these guys is like, I'll take Jake Paul right now. Not just because they want to see him lose, but because they know there's $1 million paycheck behind it.
I understand it. But at a certain point, like your health and your mental health, I just think there's like reasons to, I guess you are a prize fighter and I understand that why you do it. At the same time, it's like, a guy like Cejudo, who can come back and make a ton of money but doesn't do it right now, I also respect, because you also know when you're not in it for the right reasons or when you're not passionate about it, you know? And I feel like that's when guys get hurt. Like BJ Penn coming out of retirement to fight Jake Paul, I think would be fucking horrible. Chuck Liddell said he wants to fight Jake Paul right now. Like,
there's a lot. There's so much money in it. It's the easiest paycheck you can make.
You can barely walk. And then this guy's gonna go around saying he knocked out Chuck Liddell. Like, fuck, do I want this guy to have BJ Penn and Chuck Liddell on his win record?
Listen, Ben Askren was smiling ear to ear as he walked out of that ring. So he wasn't walking out going, oh, my record's split. He was like, let's go cash that money.
There's something wrong with Ben Askren. Ben Askren is like a fucking alien or something. Like, him and Roxanne Modifier, I don't think they're real people. Like, they're clones. Like, they don't get actual, like when people are supposed to feel sad, it's when he's like, dum-da-dum. Something's off, man, with that fucking dude. I mean, McCorkle, you get knocked out by Jake Paul, right? In 1 minute. Are you laughing and smiling ear to ear afterwards?
No, I would be, the only way I'd be laughing is if I was so embarrassed. It's like, what else are you going to do, you know? But that, I don't like losing at anything, man. Like, despite me joking around all the time and stuff, I was devastated every time I lost. Like, absolutely humiliated, and didn't matter who it was beating me. I just, I don't know. I think that may have been what it was with Asper. He probably thought it couldn't get any more embarrassing than the fight against Masvidal, and he was like, well, I outdid that. You know? Like, found a way to outdo it, so.
Yeah.
I think you just saw an easy paycheck and took it, and now everybody's like, give me that check. I'll tell you. It's sort of the way everybody It's sort of the way everybody's rushing over to, you know, the PFL for that million, because they've seen a couple million bucks go out the door and they're like, the fuck are we doing? And now everybody's showing up. I think it's the exact same syndrome.
By the way, I love the PFL. You know, obviously they sponsor the blah, 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 and I work for them. They got to figure something out. Like, they got to figure out, number one, advertising. Like, people need to know when the events are on. It seemed like they're going to, like, the Bellator School of Advertising where, like,
right,
like you just kind of scroll through the channel. It's like, oh, this is great. I didn't expect it, you know. But
yeah, and they're on ESPN though, right? Like, all of them on ESPN, or just some of them?
But why wouldn't they have a commercial on during the UFC? Like,
yeah,
like, so you're already watching fighting, and then you're like, oh, this week on PFL, you're like, oh shit, Pettis is there. Like, they can't buy commercial time during other sporting events. Wouldn't that make a lot of sense?
Sometimes that's the way it works, man. Sometimes I know how the UFC is. They may not allow it. You know, they may.
Exactly. They may tell them, like, don't you put another fight league ad. Exactly. So,
all right. Okay,
I mean.
But even they have no commercials on ever. I don't see anything that pops up on PFL.
Never. Never.
And then also, their women's division. Like, they have a women's 155-pound division, and that's it. Like, why wouldn't they have, like, if you're going to go for divisions that people don't have, let's have a 105 too. And, or right, let's have a, it's just crazy. They have one division. And then they don't have, and then the men's division, they don't have 25 or 35, charter 45. It's just a little bit of a clusterfuck there. But I mean, I like the fact that if you win 4 fights, you can win $1 million. That's pretty damn cool. Because like I said, Sean, and I was saying this last night, is that, like, there's no point of having rankings if you're not really going to follow the rankings. Even like, right. like this week, you know, Michael Chandler is fighting Charles Oliveira for the interim title belt at 55. But why wouldn't Dustin Poirier or Justin Gaethje be there when they were like kind of ranked higher than them? You know, right. because they want to rematch the McGregor fight, Poirier, because that makes money. But then the number one ranked guy doesn't have the belt. You know, it just doesn't really – like, I understand giving people title shots that aren't ranked number one or two. Like even boxing, you do that. Like, the number four guy will get a title shot or something. But don't just give an interim belt to when you have two guys that are arguably ranked higher that aren't fighting there. Does that make any sense right. to you?
Yeah, I wish they would do the tournament format. I think the UFC is real against it. I don't know why. I love it. Like, if they did – when Khabib retired, if they did an 8-man lightweight tournament, that way you know whoever wins is the best fighter. Like, who wins 3 fights among the top 8 guys, then that is the champ. And look at the NCAA tournament. That's way more interesting than it is during the regular season. I just don't – the Grand Prix have always done real well. I just think the UFC doesn't like that format. I don't know why.
It's weird, right?
Yeah.
All right, so other fights. Neil Magny, we got him on the show Thursday. He's one of these guys who only should fight guys ranked higher than him. Because whenever you think he's going to win, he loses. But that guy –
he's the opposite of Donald Cerrone.
Right.
But that guy he fought, I just read, who was a really good fighter, Jeff Neal, lost 37 pounds the week before.
Oh, shit.
Which is
That's
crazy.
A cut. God damn.
37? Yeah. 37 pounds. And he also had some type of illness he talks about. I mean, that's a lot. I remember when I wrestled in college, I would lose like 14 pounds. And it was like, I felt like I was going to die. Like I was on, I couldn't move. I couldn't fucking move. 37 is insane.
He did seem pretty frustrated for most of the fight. Maybe he was just hangry.
Yeah. Well, hangry also, your body is not going to work well with that. Your body's not going to. So, yeah. Maurice Greene, I don't know.
Oh, my God. Someone get him a wrestling coach. What the fuck was that? He was holding himself down. The fuck was that?
But if you're going to get taken down, you can't complain to the ref, hey, stand us back up. Like, has that ever worked? Looking at the ref and complaining? And the ref's not going to be like, okay, what? Like.
He was clearly trying. That's the thing. He was holding him, trying to hold him, make it boring so the ref would stand him up. The ref's like, I'm not going to fucking stand. It was so dumb. It was the worst strategy. I was like, that guy, that was stupid.
And I like Maurice Greene. Jeez.
When he's on his feet, he's fun to watch.
Yeah. I mean, even Kevin Holland was like, this guy needs a wrestling coach. It was fucking crazy. Gregor Gillespie, by the way, he's a frustrating fighter because, you know, he was a national champion wrestler. In wrestling circuits, he's the man. He's the man. And he fights a guy that was had lost missed weight by 5 pounds, Ferreira, which I think if your opponent misses weight by 5 pounds, you should get all the money and not have to fight him. Because you're fighting a guy who's basically halfway up the weight class. I mean, not 170, but like almost at 170. I mean, 160. So 5 pounds is a lot of money. In MMA, it's a lot. It's just crazy, and he outlasted him. He outgrappled him, but I still don't know how good this guy is on his feet. It seems like he doesn't necessarily love fighting. He likes winning, and he's good at fighting. But I don't know, his striking is strange. What do you think about Gillespie, McCorkle?
I'm with you on the weight thing, man. Like I don't I never miss weight. I never came close to missing weight, and I think there should be more than 20% penalty because. The UFC penalizes you if you lose, even if it's to a guy that weighed in heavier, they might cut you. And if you don't take the fight, they might cut you. So you don't have – it's like you don't have a choice but to fight or not. And then the guys got it. Some of them guys know, too. They know going in they're not going to make weight. They know – you know your body by that time. And they should tell them the week of the fight, hey, I'm not going to make weight, or 3 days out, I don't think I'm going to make weight. And if nothing else, come to an agreement where the other guy doesn't have to cut and make it, you know, if you know you're not going to make it or something. But, yeah, stop. I just don't know how you stop it. Like, I think guys are always going to do it one way or another.
I think that's true. I think they're always going to do it. I think you actually already nailed it, which is why they keep it, because it forces them to fight. It puts them in a position to go ahead with the fight. They need the fight, so they're not going to put themselves in a position like, well, fair is fair, here's the money. They're not going to do that. They want a fight to happen, whether it's with this guy or somebody else. They want a fight to happen, and the only way to do it is to keep it set up like this.
Yeah, I agree. But Gillespie, he's good. I mean, he's really good. People were saying he was the guy to beat Khabib. I don't think he's that good, but he might be one of those fighters that's frustrating because you know how good he could be because his wrestling is so fucking good. That's the thing, man. Being so good at one thing obviously is amazing, but could also be like your biggest downfall is that like you don't – like look at how far Askren went. He was a two-time world champion with the worst striking I've ever seen. Like if he was actually like not as good of a wrestler, he would get better at striking. It's just certain guys, they're so good at one thing they don't learn the other stuff. And it's frustrating at the same time. You end up loving it if you're a fan of that thing. You know, if you're a judo fan, you're gonna like it when Parisian comes in. If you're a jiu-jitsu fan, you're gonna wanna see how Gary Tonin does, you know. So if you're a boxing fan, you wanna see how this guy, how Clarissa Shields does. So at the same time, it's like for the fighter, when you know you have it in your back pocket, even as a comic, Greg, I mean, like, you know, all right, if my set goes bad, I can always do crowd work, you know, or. I could always go dirty or I could always do this. But sometimes that could be, I mean, me and you have both know comedians that became really good at crowd work and stopped writing jokes.
That's true too. Or the other way, which is, all right, if the crowd work doesn't work, then I can do material. But it's funny when you see a crowd work guy who hasn't written new material and they have to downshift into material and it's a really old and bad, and you're like, oh shit, he doesn't have any jokes. Jesus.
He's like, he's ready for Y2K. Oh.
Well, a lot of times, translate to television too. You know, you see sometimes these guys who are great at crowd work who are just murderers in the room, or they have great energy, they're great physical comedians, they got great stage presence, but then the material doesn't match that, and they go on TV, and they're like, people are like, this guy's not funny. You know, I mean, Dane Cook, obviously, is an amazing comic, but Dane Cook Live and Dane Cook on TV were two different. Dane Cook Live in Dane Cook's day, I never saw a physical comic like this. I mean, he was a murderer.
Yeah.
Murdered. It didn't necessarily translate to television because the jokes were not as tight as like, but then you see guys like Todd Barry or Gaffigan who live, you're like, yeah, it's funny. But on TV, you're like blown away because the material is that solid. So sometimes it always, I don't know, I'm off on a tangent here. Bellator. So, you guys watch Bellator?
No.
All right. Well,
I didn't even know it was on.
So I'll tell you what happened.
I knew it was on, but it was on Showtime, and I don't have Showtime, so that's what's up.
Sergio Pettis is now the champion. He beat Juan Archuleta. I mean, Archuleta just looked like he was there for a sparring contest. He did good, but he just didn't do as good as Sergio Pettis. Good for Sergio. Nice kid. Rumble. Anthony Johnson came back. And he fought a guy that, like, on a two-week notice, and he got fucking cracked. Like, he was almost out on his feet.
Yeah.
The guy broke his hand on Rumble's head. So then he started fighting with one hand. And then Rumble came back in the second and knocked the guy the fuck out.
I did see that fight. I was wrong. I did see that. I forgot. Yeah, I saw that.
I was going to say, I think I saw that highlight.
But he just got arrested today, Anthony Johnson, for identity theft. For using a credit card that, like, I guess three people had or something. And it was, like, less than $500 on it. I don't know what the fuck Anthony Johnson's thinking. Anthony Johnson's his own worst enemy. I like Rumble a lot. He's a sweet
very
guy.
Bellator move. Only Bellator do you win your match. You still got to steal a credit card to pay for your room. The fuck?
And the thing is, they didn't even, like, put MMA fighter. They just put Anthony Johnson from Fort Lauderdale in the criminal. somebody actually saw it. And I don't know what.
Even the police didn't know he was in Bellator.
Totally, exactly. They probably told him, you don't know he's in Bellator. They're like, what is Bellator?
Right. That doesn't mean he gets out of this, whatever that is.
I don't know what brand of clothing he's wearing. He's going to fucking jail, okay? No, he's in Bellator. I'm in Versace. Who fucking cares? Like,
the guy's made a lot of money. I mean, he's made a ton of money in his career. I don't know why he doesn't, why he's using a credit card for $500. Just the whole thing makes no sense. So, you know who looked good was MVP against Derek Anderson. MVP broke this guy's nose. I mean, it was like so broke. I had like an OnlyFans account. The thing was fucking like boom.
Nice.
It was MVP. I want to see him do it against the higher competition, but this dude's good. The guy he beat, and man, those karate guys are hard to fight, man. Like when you got a guy who specializes. I mean, did you ever have that problem, McCorkle?
I don't know. I fought, I was trying to think, when I fought Soa Pelele, I knew I was in trouble because when I talked to Monty Cox, who's my agent, I said, what do you think my chances are of winning? He said, not good. And I was like, so what if I come in really good shape? He goes, well, let me tell you. He said, he's an outstanding kickboxer. He's on the Australian Olympic, alternate Olympic team for wrestling. He's a black belt in judo and jujitsu. So I don't see how you beat him, but who knows? And I was like, I started laughing. I was like, that's thanks. He goes, well, I'm being honest with you. So yeah, he's kind of better than me at everything. So, so I know that feeling that somebody's much better. But
why'd you take the fight?
Because it was 4-round trip tickets to Australia, $30,000. And I was planning on actually getting engaged at the time. And I was broke. So, like, I was like, well, I can get $30,000. And my agent did say, if you can last the first round and a half, you'll beat him. But good luck lasting a round and a half because nobody has for a long time. And sure enough, he went in the UFC. And I think he ran through 5 or 6 guys in a row in the first round after he beat me. That got him in the UFC. I remember telling Matt Mitrione, like, this dude would smash you. He's like, yeah, right. I've watched him fight. He ain't no good. I was like, watch. And he came in the UFC just killing everybody. Then they started steroid testing real heavy, and he got real skinny and didn't fight nearly as well. So I'm not saying he was on steroids, but, yeah, I got stronger just from having him sweat on me.
No, he got busted the steroids, right? Did he?
I don't know if he popped, but I know that he, I asked him, I said, why are you retired? He said, why do you think? And I didn't know what that meant. So I was just like, oh, okay. Like, I don't know what to say, but I knew he was 287 when he fought me. And a year or two later in the UFC, he was 244 when he was fighting and didn't look nearly as strong or as aggressive.
What's up, guys? BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. I mean, football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards. I mean, how cool is that? TV shows and reality TV, which I love to watch. They got real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, the scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. So head to the website and use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. So don't sit on the sidelines anymore, huh? Don't be that guy or girl. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code CLNS50 to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. So visit our good friends and exclusive partner at betonline_ag. Take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and use the promo code CLNS50 for your sign-up bonus. Use the hashtag betonline. What's up, guys? Come back.
Wow.
Dude, super nice guy. One of the nicest guys I've ever met.
I did an interview with Mark Kerr about 2 years ago, and Mark Kerr looked like, I mean, not even like an average guy, like out of shape. Like you would never know that was Mark Kerr. And Mark Kerr back when like on the, that was the first time I saw MMA was on the Smashing Machine, that documentary, yeah. Which, holy shit. By the way, if you want to see a good documentary I saw recently, it was like, I guess Vice is doing these things on WWE, which I haven't been a WWE fan in a while, but they had this thing about, there was the worst idea ever in wrestling history. So I guess this guy, Vince Russo, you know who Vince Russo is?
Yeah, yeah.
So he's like a character guy that basically, Greg, he was like a fan who became he wrote the magazine, and then he was like this, like, they hired him to be in the WWE, and he was like the guy that was like all about extreme wrestling, or like, he took it to the next level. And he was a big Jerry Springer guy. He loved Jerry Springer. So he turns to WWE and Jerry Springer, and the ratings just went through the roof. And then WCW. But so his idea was, there was a guy in the locker room. The guy's name was, all these wrestling fans are going to get mad at me, but there's a guy in the locker room, forgot the guy's name, J.R. something, or where he said, I'm the toughest guy here. I could fuck anybody up. And he didn't like this guy, right? So he set up an actual tournament where they'd actually fight each other. Like, so they picked 8 guys that were like mid-level wrestlers or struggling or wanted to get in WWE, and they had like a tough man competition of actual fighting. And the guy that ended up winning was this guy, Bart Gunn. And he was the guy that like no one thought was gonna win. He was like this like cowboy.
You're talking about the Brawl for All, right?
Yeah, the Brawl for All.
It was real. They really boxed and took each other down. You got points for takedowns and points for
–
or you could knock somebody out.
So like, Dan Severn won, but barely won his first fight. So then he, like, retired from it. He was like, man, this is making me look bad. And then they had a bunch of other guys win. And they had this guy, like, named Dr. Death that they thought was like a 4-time All-American. And he was, like –
Steve Williams.
He was the guy that, like, they thought was going to win. And this other guy – but he, like, tore his ACL, like, during the fight or something. So Bart Gunn, like, knocked him the fuck out. He also knocked out this bouncer who was like known as the pimp. And I'm getting it all wrong. I'm sorry, WWE.
The Godfather.
The Godfather, right? This guy was a fucking... So this guy wins, right? And then he actually knocks out the guy that like the guy hated him, that Russo hated him. So he wins, right? And he was not... So everyone's mad at him for winning because like McMahon and all the other guys wanted like Dr. Death to win, right? So they all wanted him to win. So then they put him up against Butterbean, who wasn't even in the tournament. Like this guy thought, I won... He won 75 grand. He's happy. He's like, now it's my time. They're going to make me a star. I'm going to fight Stone Cold Steve Austin. But they're mad at him for winning. So they put him up against Butterbean, but they sent him to boxing school. They're like, hey, we're going to put you in boxing school for a month, right? Then he tries to become a fucking boxer, and Butterbean knocks him out in like 20 seconds, right? And like out cold. And then he goes to Japan. That's his whole fucking career. This fucking poor guy. Like all the guy did was keep winning. And then he just got fucked.
I mean, I get it. I mean, the WWE is used to determining who wins. So
I think I don't know if that was the worst idea that WWE ever had. I think lowering Owen Hart from the rafters was probably the worst idea they ever had, but that's me.
That was pretty bad. He did die from that, and that was awful. But let's go to a more positive thing. But it was crazy because the fans were booing the Brawl for All because they wanted them to do like, because they were all, a lot of them were not good fighters. Like they were just,
right.
they were just tough guys. But I don't know. When I watched the highlights, it was pretty entertaining to me. No, Sean? I mean.
I loved it, man. That's when I wouldn't watch one of the fake matches, but when that was on, I watched every week, man. I thought that was awesome.
It was crazy.
Because they would still come out in their costumes and outfits, but still box. It was like the greatest, like that Johnny B. Bad guy still looked like Little Richard, but he was getting beat up by some other guy. Like, it was like. It was the greatest idea I thought they ever had. I loved it.
And then Vince McMahon was such a dick. He had, like, Bart Gunn fight his tag team partner. Like, they're like, right. Oh, you guys happen to be, like, draw first. Like, and then they had to go back to that room there that night. They'd go to the hotel, and, like, after the guy knocks him out, he's all pissed at each other. It was fucking crazy. The whole thing, that was the craziest thing. But it was a great documentary. If you want to see a good documentary, I don't like Vince after doing that. That was why put him against the guy. Butterbean was like 65 and like 4 or something. Like he's like Harry Holmes. And Butterbean, though, to his credit, was like, you know, if he would have just brawled like he did in the other fights, he would have had a 50-50 chance of winning. But he tried to actually become a boxer, and the guy had no chance. Sometimes, like you're better off going with your instincts, I guess, right? Is that what
you know? What's crazy is when I fought Mariusz Pudzianowski, the world's strongest man, he had shrunk down to like 255 pounds and was trying to become a fighter, and I beat him real fast. And they were like, "What do you think he should do?" I said, "If I would bulk back up as big as possible, and you,
Greg,
yep.
Oh, is he
getting strong and on a bunch of steroids again? So, I actually gave him the key to beating me. So."
No, I think sometimes, like, sometimes your awkwardness and your natural – it's like you said, like, sometimes when you wrestle somebody who has, like, no experience, it's hard to wrestle that person because they're just fucking crazy. I'm sure we're fighting, too. A lot of times, like, a little bit of training is worse than no training. It's
grapple with a guy that doesn't know jiu-jitsu, sometimes it's really confusing because you think you know what they're going to do next, and you don't at all. They're going to go the wrong way or do something different and throw you off, you know?
100%. So in the PFL last week, I don't know, you guys watch the PFL?
No.
I thought we just talked about it. Do we not?
PFL, no. So last week they had they had Verdum, right? So Verdum, like all their main guys that allegedly they gave $1 million signing bonus to are losing. Like in the yeah. They might not even make the tournament. Anthony Pettis. So Verdum came in.
Well, and this is why you never pay someone before services are rendered. It's like you could fight four times and win $1 million, or we could just give you $1 million and see how you do.
Right.
I mean, I think I would just take the $1 million and be like, thanks, dudes. Like,
yeah, there was a comedian one time that like went to Montreal and got like a development deal. They gave him like, I don't know, $100,000 or something. So he gets to the meeting and they're like, hey, so what are some of your ideas? And he's like, well, that was it. They're like, well, what do you mean? They're like, well, you already gave me $100,000. Like, yeah, but that was to develop ideas. He's like, yeah, my idea was for you to give me $100,000.
Not a bad idea.
That was the idea and it works. So yeah, you never pay a hooker up front.
Well, it's like one time I asked these girls at the comedy club, like, hey, wanna go back to my place? I have a hot tub. And I didn't think it would work. We're back to my place, like, where's your hot tub? I'm like, I didn't think that would actually work. Like, but you guys are here, you wanna hang out? That's a big so anyway, Verdum, Verdum took the guy, the guy took him down, Verdum puts on a triangle, and the guy taps. But it was like a one tap. Like, so one tap means you tap, right? Any kind of
yeah.
tap. But the guy tapped once and then like hesitated. And then Keith Peterson was on the wrong side. So he didn't see it. So then Verdum kind of like leds up a little bit. And the guy keeps fighting. And the guy knocks Verdum out. And then they're like, oh, this guy's the winner. And then Verdum's like, but he tapped. So now they overturned it to a no contest.
I didn't know they overturned it. That's awesome because he did tap. That's great that they at least overturned it.
Yeah, but shouldn't he get points? I mean, he's not going to get points now to get to the playoffs or whatever.
Oh, I don't know how the playoff thing works. I just know that that was bullshit for that guy to tap and not admit it after. Be like, I didn't tap. Like, it's on film, dude.
Yeah.
You know, like,
on the ref, too. I mean, his one job
right.
is to look for that. What was he looking at if not that, you know?
If you're reffing a Fabricio Verdum fight and he has the guy in a triangle, I would probably be watching his hands, not the triangle trick. You know what I mean? Like, you might want to look
for the submission.
Everybody. So,
yeah. So dumb.
Someone said, you know, Dominic Cruz was, like, cursing out him because he was the guy that, did, like, said he smelled, like, cigarettes and beer for that fight against Cejudo. Remember? He was, like, mad.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Kayla Harrison won. I don't think anyone's going to beat her. I mean, she's the two-time gold medalist for judo. She's just fucking – trains with Nunez, and she's just murdering people. And the girl, Caitlin Young, who came on the show last week, won. We had her on the show. She won her fight against Cindy Dandois. And then in Bellator, they had Rafael Carvalho, who lost literally last Friday. And they have him fighting in the LFA this week. I don't know. Is that even legal?
I'll tell you what. His accountant likes it. I mean, he's making bills. He's like, okay, great. I got that money. Let's go fight over in PFL. Try and put some commas in it. I got to tell you, though, you were talking about that Bellator card. It sounded like it was a really good card, actually.
It was pretty good. I mean, there was even more fights. Patchy Mix, he looked good. Corrales lost. Hufian Stotts. They're putting a lot of guys who are really good on the undercard, which is annoying because it's on Showtime Sports, which I have like 4 Showtimes. I don't even get Showtime Sports. So now you got to go on the Bellator YouTube fucking channel to watch it.
And oh, my God. That is like, so dumb.
Everybody commenting. So you have to, like, hide the comments. Otherwise, people are there to, like, plug their rap album or something. Or
Bellator did that to me after the UFC released me. Bellator signed me, and they had me on the internet portion. And I was like, I told them, I said, I'm more famous than anyone here. Not that I was that famous, but, like, I didn't know a single fighter on the card besides me. Like, I hadn't even heard of them. And they was like, well, we're not going to populate our events with a bunch of former UFC guys. I'm like, yeah, why would you want anyone that's known on your televised portion? Like, you don't want that. You want all your guys that no one gives a shit about. And I remember the Underground was at wait, I have to go online to watch McCorkle fight, and he's the only one I even know on this card? Like,
yeah, it's so weird, man. It's just really weird. They got a guy, Patchy Mix, who was like literally just fought for the title, who's like 12-1 on the undercard. It's crazy. So this week, we got Oliveira versus Michael Chandler. This is an interesting fight because Chandler looks so good in his fight against Hooker. I mean, yeah. He just came out and just obliterated.
Took him apart.
But is it one of those things where it was like he had a big chip on his shoulder? He wants to prove I'm not just a Bellator fighter. I'm the best in the world. And did he peak then? And now, you know, sometimes it's like hard to keep that ride. You know, like guys, it's like they say the hardest thing to do is to stay there. Getting there is not the hardest part. It's staying there. So does he take his foot off the gas a little bit and now doesn't look as good against, you know, Charles Oliveira, who's been looking like a fucking phenom lately? I mean, just so what do you think happens in this fight, McCorkle?
I think Oliveira is overall the better fighter, and I think he should win, but I just have a feeling Chandler's going to knock him out, man. He's been on a streak, and he hits really, really hard. He's hard to take down. Oliveira really impressed me against Tony Ferguson. Like, I was blown away at how good he looked. But like I said, I think he's a better fighter. But I just – if I'm going to put money on, I feel like Chandler's going to win. I don't know why. I just feel like he is.
Greg?
I have the same way. I mean, I the way Chandler looked at his last fight, he looks like a world beater right now on a mission. And I don't – but Oliveira is a clever fighter. And I could see him frustrating Chandler. And if he frustrates Chandler, he's got a shot. And I think that's the one thing that could swing it. If he can't figure out a way to tie him up, you know, kind of just make him do things he doesn't want to do, then he might have a chance. But otherwise, I think Chandler just buzzsaws right through him. I mean, just based on the way he looked most recently, I mean, he looked so fantastic. It'd be hard to see him not just really beating the shit out of this guy.
It's also hard, though, because, like, he knocked the guy out in, what, one round? And sometimes you don't know how good a guy is if he knocks you out so quickly because, you know, it's just – he kind of caught him. He hurt him early. So – but I don't know.
You guys notice we're seeing a lot fewer calf kicks lately since
– Yeah, I actually have. That's weird you said that. I didn't notice.
I know that, too. I'm like, a lot fewer calf kicks this week than before the last fight. What's his name?
Yeah, Chris Weidman.
Weidman for the Weidman break.
Also on this card, Beneil Dariush taking on Tony Ferguson. Man, I mean, Tony Ferguson is the most lovable guy. He'll text me at like 3 o'clock in the morning. Like, I have an idea for a sketch. I'm like, the awards are 9 months away. And like whatever the idea is, like, there's no way. Even if I don't like the idea, I can't tell him I don't like it because I like the fact that, like, you know, it's also one of these, it's just a crazy idea. They're usually pretty good ideas. They're good ideas, but I'm just like, bro, like, I don't have a studio we could just go right now at 4 a.m, shoot the sketch. Like, it has to be like for the award show. Like,
yeah.
And Dariush is probably the nicest person in the history of people. The guy in his time off goes and, like, builds churches for, like, underprivileged kids. He's just the night, like, I once said he tested positive for no testosterone. He's just like a sweet guy. And if I had him as like a son-in-law, my kid's two, so I can't even make that analogy. But like, let's say my daughter was like 20. He's the kind of guy you'd want to marry your daughter. It's like,
yeah, nice for guy sure. That,
like, fight, who's like goes to church and just like a good person.
I don't know. Anytime there's that much outward show, you don't know what's going on behind closed. I think he's trying to paint a picture. I'm not buying
it. I don't know, man. The guy seems like a real sweet guy.
And that's exactly what he wants you to think.
But I don't know if that helps Tony Ferguson, because Tony Ferguson also seems like one of those dudes that likes to hate the person he's fighting. And this dude is almost like unhateable. Ronda Rousey was kind of like that. Like Holly Holm was such a nice person.
Right.
She's like, I'm not buying the preacher's daughter my ass. But like, I don't know, man.
Yeah, she was also distracted by 1,000 other engagements. So
yeah. But like, Nate Diaz is also one of those dudes. Like, Nate Diaz is always gonna get up for a fight where he hates the guy.
Oh, for sure. Now that, yes, absolutely.
So I don't know if fighting Beneil Dariush is going to help him. The way that Ferguson's looked recently, if he doesn't win this fight, maybe it's one of those things where it's like, once it goes, you know?
Yeah. He's been taking a lot of damage in them fights, man. A lot of damage.
You see it a lot more with boxers than you do with MMA fighters, where all of a sudden you're like, man, this dude is just not the fighter he once was. Sean, you know?
Yeah, I think it's hard to say because Ferguson lost to two really good guys, man. So it's hard to, you know, hard to say that too. Yeah. But I think it's the same thing. I think Ferguson's a much better fighter. But I watched that UFC countdown or something the night with Dariush, and you can't help but – I mean, you talk about – I think the power of positive thinking does mean something, you know. Like he's – it seems like everything's lining up for him, man. Like he's got a good team behind him. He's a great place in life. Like from everything they were saying, I changed my mind. I was betting a couple grand on Ferguson. I think I'm going Dariush instead, man. Like I think I just think – I don't know. I just – one of the things where I have a feeling it's just like, you know, Ferguson's going to have some doubt in his mind. The Dariush guy seems convinced he's going to win. Like it seems like he's – he's one of them guys like, oh, no, I'm going to win. You know, like he just – I don't know. Of course, that doesn't matter if you get knocked out, but I don't know.
I was going to say, all that positive thinking flies right out of your head when you get punched in the face.
Right. Yeah, sometimes you're positive you're going to lose, though, like me.
I mean, here's what, like, troubles me about this fight, though, was that Tony Ferguson was, like, a great wrestler in high school and a great wrestler in college. You know, he wrestled for a good, legitimate college.
Like, but he doesn't really use it.
4 years. And he got taken down for 15 minutes against Charles Oliveira, who's never wrestled a day in his life. I mean, he likes being on his back, this fucking guy. That's troubling to me. You know, that's a little bit of like, whoa, what's going on here?
Are you slut shaming Tony Ferguson right now?
that's like, maybe you just didn't expect the guy to take you down and it just threw you, but over and over again. Something's crazy about that, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. So that's a little bit.
I think these two guys, these guys are tough as nails. And I think they're just going to, I mean, really grind on each other. I think it goes all three rounds. I think it goes to a decision. And I think Dariush ends up winning the decision.
If Ferguson loses, maybe they should put him in with Cowboy Cerrone. That way, at least one of them gets a win. You know, like if they're both supposedly done. You know,
I think Ferguson's taking so much damage. I think he is declining quickly because of it.
My wife and I were at a UFC fight, and these guys were all walking to the cage. Dariush went in, and he got knocked out in like 12 seconds. And then Mike Pyle came in. I gave him a hug. And my wife's like, "Stop saying hi to these people."
You're jinxing him.
Like, I was like avoiding eye contact with people I knew because I wanted them to win. Now, Caitlin Chookagan, who's a really cool chick. She actually did stand-up comedy one night. Did they have the time?
Yeah.
Like they booked her with like all these fighters to do comedy, and no one showed up but her. So she's fighting Vivian Araujo. She's a grunter, though. She's one of these people that, like, comes from a karate background, like a Monica Seles, where it's like, huh,
yeah, yeah,
you know, and like
lots of key ops.
Yeah, a lot of key ops. Like I wrote, like I wish I had a girl that would grunt as loud as she did. Like I go, you know, like when she's fighting, I actually have sex with my wife and just keep the sound on. But, but yeah, she has a win over Cavillo. Cavillo is a crazy story. I talk about that a little bit. I wrote a joke about that, how like her boyfriend cheated on her. So she went to the gym to lose weight get back at him to get like revenge body. And then like 4 years later is like ranked in the UFC.
Okay. So either you've told this story so many times or there's like 9 female fighters with this story. It's one or the other. I can't. And I feel like there's a lot of female fighters with this story.
Well, it shows you, like, ladies, he's not cheating. He's inspiring you to.
You know, there one time you reminded me, one time I was watching a Serena Williams match, and she's one of the, she's a grunter. She likes to, you know, and it's like, it was like her, and I don't remember who she was playing, but the other girl also was a grunter. And so it became like almost like a noise competition, like, and to a comical level. Like I was just sitting there dying. My wife's like, "What are you laughing?" I'm like, "Listen to this magic. Like, I mean, every point, it was just hysterical to watch.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Also, Jacare's on this card, which I don't know, man. When he got knocked out from being on top of Kevin Holland by hammer fist, that was like, I mean, Kevin Holland hits hard, but that was a good indicator of maybe it's time to hang it up.
Yeah, we seem to have gotten the last, you know, drops of fucking Jacare. Like, he was this legend, and then he finally gets the UFC, and you're like, eh, there's not much left here.
In the beginning, he was killing everybody. And then, you know, and then Shane Burgos taking on Barboza. There's like, dude, I remember, speaking of which, I remember I was at the fight when Barboza fought, He fought Dan Hooker. And this dude, like, everyone was saying stop the fight because Dan Hooker was getting beat up so bad. Everybody in the arena was yelling at the ref, which shows you how good Hooker did. But, like, that was, like, you know, and Barboza's been, like, up and down. You know, he's one of
yeah.
the – like, Andrea Lee's fighting. She's a fucking hottie and a half. She's fighting Shevchenko's sister, also a beautiful girl. Andrea Lee's the one whose boyfriend was, like – I think he beat her up or something, and he was, like, on the run in Texas.
And then she decided to take an MMA class to lose weight. No, no, no. to get back at him, to get revenge body, and to beat him up.
It's crazy.
And, that's the only thing that changes is whether or not he beat her and she wanted to beat him up back, or she just wanted to lose weight. That's the only part of the story that changes.
Back in the day, we used to do those, like, remember we used to do those, like, Invicta press conferences on the podcast, but it was just us. There was no press involved. And it was just people like
that's right.
It was a fucking three-way call, basically. So, so we had Andrea Lee versus she was fighting Rachel Ostovich, and we had them both on talking shit, and they talked no shit to each other. So then we would start talking shit for them, and
that's
then
right.
Then it became like, well, who do you think's hotter or who's better in bed? And then it became like, would you make out with the other one? Like it became how it got to would you make out with her? Like. And then the boyfriends got on the phone, and they because they didn't know they were like had like. And then they
oh, that's right. They're like, "Who are you talking to?"
And then they started fighting with each other. Meanwhile, both boyfriends have been arrested since that podcast for domestic violence. Both of them are in jail.
The boyfriend's like, "You think your woman's gonna beat mine? I'm about to whip her ass to motivate her. You'll see."
It was crazy. It was like so that he's in jail. Both are in jail. And both of these girls are single, Andrea Lee and Shevchenko. No, and Ostovich. By the way, Ostovich has now joined bare knuckle boxing. So it's her, Paige Van Zandt, and that other girl, Pearl Gonzalez, who's a fucking another smoke show. They all have OnlyFans accounts, and they're all in bare knuckle boxing. So it's like bare knuckle has signed the three hottest girls.
Well, it sounds like OnlyFans signed him up for some bare knuckle action too.
Oh, good.
You want to see the real bare knuckle?
The loser of that fight is maybe the guy in front of me. No, I've got.
You know what? I'm gonna break out my cymbal for this show, and when you hit these, Adam, I'm gonna give you a good. I'm gonna do it. It's gonna happen.
Where did McCorkle go? He fucking left.
Oh man. Well, you know, he's got that, you know, middle of the nowhere Wi-Fi. So
then there's a guy fighting this week, Jamie Pickett, fighting a guy who's known as the Beverly Hills Ninja. I used to train with this guy. Well, I didn't train. I went to the gym, and he was there. I don't want to say I trained with him. I'm not gonna be CB Gold. Remember, CB told us he trained with Michael Chandler. And then, like, that turned into, like, he was at the gym getting autographs while Michael
Chandler. Right. Which, that makes a lot more sense.
I mean, there were fighters that I actually did train with. Like, I did train with Dan Hardy for a long time. And I trained with Alan Dubon for a little bit. We wrestled. I wouldn't say we weren't, like, you know, we weren't, like, brothers in arms.
Right. You trained with him as in one time. You trained with him, you know.
Hardy, I trained with a lot. Like, I was.
Right. I'm just saying with the, you know.
With Alan, yeah.
So, with Alan.
But there was a guy that was, so this guy, they call him the Beverly Hills Ninja because he's like a black belt in karate and he's from Beverly Hills.
He looks like it too. He looks like the Matt Gaetz of fucking MMA.
He doesn't look like in very good shape though. He just, so we'll see. His last fight did not go very well. But I think it's great when you got a guy from Beverly Hills, they call him the Beverly Hills Ninja. I mean, how do you not root for him? So
I'm pretty sure everybody roots for him to get punched in the face. That's what I think. Nobody wants to see the Beverly Hills guy do great. You want to see him get his teeth knocked in by the fucking East Los guy, you know? It's like he already has all the advantages, and he gets the you want to see him get knocked the fuck out.
Well, I actually, the guy who came to my special was, there was a guy sitting in the crowd. He was the guy that did that crazy kick where the guy caught his leg. Joaquin Buckley, remember the guy caught his leg and he did that crazy, like, reverse kicked the face, like, against the guy Impa, I think. And he was fighting him next, the Beverly Hills Ninja. And I was like, you got to come out as, like, a Compton Ninja or something. Like, he was like, you got to be like the other guy. Anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
Kevin Lee. Kevin Lee wants to fight. He's going to 170. He called out Mike Perry. And he called out Robbie Lawler.
I don't know what to make of that at all. Why? What?
I'd watch either one, but
I'd watch it too, but it just seems a little bit.
You think you would want to call out someone, you know, current, you know, like somebody that would actually advance your career. I feel like
a guy like on a 2-fight losing streak or 3-fight losing streak.
Right? Yeah. I mean,
but it's his first fight at 170. So maybe he wants to settle in.
Oh, right. He wants to fight somebody who thinks he can beat. Is that, I mean,
I don't know. It's a little,
strange. I don't know. That is very strange.
That tattoo in the back of his head is also like Kevin Lee, like we had his brother on the podcast, Keith Lee, nice guy. And he says Kevin just become like one of those dudes that just like, I'll be like, where are you going? I'll be like, Costa Rica by himself. We'll leave the next day for like 2 weeks, then come back. Like he's kind of become like his own guy, like a guy.
You know what? You know what they call that? Being in the CIA. Your cover is you're an international fighter.
That or you like ayahuasca? There's a whole trend of people now doing like DMT and ayahuasca.
Listen, he's like he's taking out dictators and fucking, you know, overthrowing drug lords and shit. And then he comes back, he's like, oh yeah, it's ayahuasca on the beach. All right,
maybe. Yeah. Alan Juban retired. He retired.
It seems like he was mostly a commentator at this point anyway. I think that's a strong move for him.
Yeah, I didn't know how it seemed like he wasn't going to even get to fight the guys in the top 10 or fighting these other guys that were also like top 20 guys and they were warriors and he's got a family and he's got a, you know, great look. He's a nice guy. And he, you know, I mean, he's a guy literally when I trained with him, he had never wrestled before. He just had very little wrestling and he went from like a guy that was like a good athlete to the UFC in like 5 years. And he's a nice, solid dude. So good for Alan.
Dan, you know, you said he wasn't going to get any top 10 fights. I'll tell you what else he didn't get. Any of my jokes at your wedding. We were at the same time.
Wait, what happened? Wait, hold on.
Do we lose him?
McCorkle, what happened? Fuck. Sean. Oh man. Well, I guess no one else getting your jokes either. So.
Yeah, exactly. You know who else is getting his jokes? The listeners of this podcast.
All right. Well, we have to find out the jokes that he made at the wedding. Vince Michelle, they said he moved to Texas, and
that makes sense. He'll fit in real well there. He will. I grew up in Texas. I know Texas very well. He'll do great in Texas.
Well, I remember he wanted to fight Gavin Newsom. Like he kept calling out Gavin Newsom on the podcast, and we're like Vince, he's not going to fight you. He's actually like, there's no way Gavin Newsom is going to fight Vince Michelle. What if he loses that fight? What were you saying at the jokes at the wedding, Sean?
Oh yeah. He just wasn't a fan. Like I was like, I kept making Charles in Charge jokes because Scott Baio was wearing Chachi jokes and all kinds of stuff. And he just kept staring at me like he wasn't getting it. He just kept looking at me like weird. And then I made a couple real racist jokes that were supposed to be funny. And he just kept, I mean, like not his smile. He was just staring directly at me. I was like, all right.
Well, I remember a little kid named Cage, adorable little kid, fell in the water fountain.
And that's right.
Started crying. And then Hanato, he went in the fountain too. He's like, no, it's cool. It was like that scene from Billy Madison where the kid pees.
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone pees his pants.
I thought Hanato actually helped him into the, like, kind of excited him into the whole thing. And then was like, me too. I felt like he was a little involved.
Joe Bam beat Mike Perry, right? When they fought her, Mike Perry.
Yep, yep.
Okay, yeah, that was probably why I went wrong. I was talking to him. I said, dude, I thought you won that fight. I don't know why they thought you lost. And I could tell you kept looking at me. Later on, I realized he beat Mike Perry, and he was probably thinking, why are you saying I lost that fight? Like, I was like, I can't believe I gave him the decision. I thought you won, and he just kept staring at me. So, I don't know.
Is this one of your jokes? Right. I don't get any of your jokes.
It's so funny because he's like the most polite, rude guy like ever. Like I remember he did the podcast and Bubba was there. And Bubba was like fat. Like you could tell Bubba like was not in fight shape. And he goes, man, the thing about you, Bubba, is I never know what weight class you're in. Like, but it was like a polite way of saying like how fucking fat. Yeah. And then I called them Blubber Jenkins and Bubba got pissed. I was like, I love Bubba. Meanwhile, Bubba didn't get my joke at all because I told him he didn't get me a wedding gift, right? And then he said, hey man, don't worry. I go, he goes, I'll get your kid a gift, right? So after he won the fight last week or 2 weeks ago, I go, hey, my kid likes Barbie dolls. Like thinking, hey, you're gonna win the million. And he goes, weird text, but okay. I'm like, no, I meant like you're gonna win the million and buy my kid Barbie dolls. He goes, you're a comedian, do better.
Yeah, but you're the only person that thinks that in that moment he's gonna put these thoughts together. Remember that joke that I made about a week ago? I mean,
oh yeah, good point. All right, I get it. All right, so yeah. Dan Hardy wants his release from the UFC. I guess, man. So Dan Hardy got mad because Herb Dean made a terrible call. Remember there was a fight that he should have stopped, and Dan like charged the cage and was like had a word with him. Well, since then, Dan got into it with Herb's wife, I guess. They told his wife that he was a terrible ref too. So they basically cut Dan from commentating in the UFC. But I don't know what's going on. I don't know what is going on with Dan, but he wants to be cut totally and still fight again. He wants to fight in Europe. Dan is one of the nicest people I know. Very cool guy. Very respectful. Doesn't always come across that way, I guess, on text or whatever. But
he's a good commentator too. I liked his commentary. Yeah.
It seems like UFC contracts should expire at some point. Like Dan hasn't fought in what, 7 or 8 years? Shouldn't his contract be over? Like it seems like at some point you should be able to be like, hey, guys, I wasn't just leaving with the belt and trying to go different motions. It's been 9 years. I just would like to fight elsewhere. Like,
yeah, it's
strange. Well, and you know what? These are some of the things that if they unionized, they would be able to get those in the contracts.
Yeah, I wish.
And without unionizing, they won't be able to get them in the contracts.
Dan was also – and look, I don't know Herb Dean. I met him a couple times. I know Dan. But I still think Dan was on the wrong. Like you can't run into the octagon and curse out the ref. he overreacted.
All right. Well, that's something you either do man-to-man in private or you trash him publicly, which is what I would do, but not at the fight. Like, I would wait on my Twitter the next day and be like, by the way, he should have stopped that fight. Like, but don't – not while a guy's in there trying to ref, like you're going to come screaming at him. Like, that's the last thing they need is more pressure. Jason Guida did that one night, and I had to slap him. It was awesome. I didn't know who he was. It was like a ridiculous local fight, and Jason Guida tried to attack the ref that I knew, like, coming there getting his face. It's on film somewhere. He's a real genius, but yeah, that started a war with me and him for like 9 years. And he tried to confront me at a UFC in Detroit. It was ridiculous with some guys that said they were in the mafia. And I said, usually guys are in the mafia. Don't come up and tell you they're in the mafia. That's normally the way it works. Yeah. Like, come up like, hey, I'm a made man. Like really, you could get killed for saying that if you actually were. So, you know,
I remember when at the Staples Center, when the Guida brothers tried to fight the Diaz brothers.
Yeah, yeah. That's a bad idea. them guys are retards, man. I'll tell you what, I can't stand either of them.
You got to feel for these refs a little bit, just a little bit, because they constantly have to walk this line between stopping it too early and stopping it too late. And it seems like there's, you know, if you don't hit it right where everybody agrees it should end, then, you know, there are going to be people ripping you apart for saying you stole a fight from somebody and people ripping you apart for saying you let a guy get the shit beat out of him. And it's like, I mean, that's got to probably be the toughest part about being a ref.
I wish refs were like refs and judges should be former high level fighters, because the way when I've ref before, just at local shows, and I didn't have a license or anything. I don't know if you need one, but I always looked at it as would I want the fight stopped if I was either guy? You know what I mean? Like if I was on bottom taking that kind of beating, would I want the fight stopped? Or would I be thinking I could come back? It's really not that hard, man. I'm sure you guys could even do it. Like having not fought, if a guy is getting hurt more than he needs to, and he's not going to win the fight, you stop the fight, you know, like it's really not rocket science doing it, man. It's the same thing in judging. If you watch a fight, when I watch fights, I usually did, if I was judging, I always looked at like minute by minute, like, okay, the last minute this guy won, you know, pretty decisively. If the next minute was even, okay, well, guy A is still winning this fight. If the guy comes back, you know, ferociously the next 2 minutes, I'm like, okay, now he's losing, you know, like, so it's really not that hard, you know, it's, I don't know.
So if I hear you correctly, I'm wrong. You're like, it's not that hard.
I think I agreed with you, but I could be wrong. I thought we were agreeing.
I was the worst.
Because to me, it just seems like, you know, and I guess for me, it's not really even about doing it in the ring. It's about, you know, versus the public opinion of what you've done in the ring. That is what I'm saying is the tight rope that these guys seem to have to walk.
Dude, I was the worst.
No, it's not. I mean, in basketball, no matter what you do, someone's going to hate you. So it doesn't really matter. I've had money on a guy before who was almost dead in the cage. And I'm like, why did they stop that? Because I had $2,000 on the guy getting beat up. You know? But if I were being honest, I would want him to stop it.
Exactly. You're like, actually, he probably, he probably should. You punch the guy.
Dude, when I was when I was in high school, my little brother was like, I don't know, 7 or 8 or not. He was younger, and he used to play Little League. He was a good baseball player. But I used to show up to the games, and the ump wouldn't show up. So I had my ump stuff. I'm like, I'm the ump. And I would try to like fix the games all the time because my brother would win. I would call strikes all the time. I was like the biggest cheater. But then the kids started blowing it. They started looking at me and giving me the thumbs up. I'm like, hey, fuck. It's that obvious that I'm like throwing this game for my brother.
Dude, I refed a third grade basketball game one time. I threw out 3 players and the coach in the first quarter for mouthing off to me. I just went in the mood. So this player, he's like second or third grade. He gives me a dirty look when I call a foul. I said, guess what? You're out. Double tech. Get out. And he was like, what? His parents said something. I challenged them to a fight. And the coach was like, listen, you really need to watch yourself. I said, hey, you're out too. Like that or whatever. And another player's like, that's not fair. I was like, you're gone. Like they were throwing the whole team out. They never asked me.
Really? Wait a minute. I would have thought you would have been the choice. I mean, hey, listen, if we get anybody, I want the guy who threw out most of the coaches and half the team.
Right.
If we can get that guy back.
I couldn't believe when 3 people in a row got thrown out, everybody was like, man, this is getting intense. Like, it's crazy. I just kept throwing
out. You're like, you're out. Okay, fine. Yeah. You're out.
So we had a wrestling match.
He threw out the snow cone guy.
For sure. You with popcorn, out.
Get out! Get the fuck you, a latte man. A latte man. Get the new test. Go sell your corn somewhere else. We're playing.
He forgot to start the clock. He's out. Get him out.
we had a wrestling match against Chaminade, and my assistant coach told me that the other kid's parents was a porn producer for like Evil Angel, like the worst fucking, like the most disgusting porn ever. And this guy was a real dick. We were like arguing over a call. And I was, and this guy, first of all, like our girl beat like their boy. And he's like, we're going to make fun of him later. I'm like, please don't. Like, I'm like sticking up for his kid, for losing a girl for us, whatever. And then like, we're arguing over a call. And he said something to me. And I'm like, hey, what's your day job?
I gotta have the symbol. I gotta have it. I'm bringing it out next week. We're gonna have it for you. We're gonna start using it. It's gonna be like me counting Brandon Schwab jokes. I'll be giving you the symbol for all your zingers.
I love that. I love that he calls him Schwab like I do. That Greg does. That's awesome. I couldn't help but think telling that story, Adam. Like right before the kid goes out to wrestle the girl, he's like, "Listen, I want you to go out there and fuck her up. Yeah, fuck her real hard." Like. Like he's a porn producer. Like I don't know. So.
Dude, there was a kid.
I want you to make her cry while stretching out her mouth.
Oh shit.
Jesus, dude. One of the moms on the team, like I matched with on Tinder, and so she
nice.
So she hits me up. She's like, "Hey, you're really cute, but you coach my kid." Blah blah blah. I didn't even know who she was. Like I was just swiping right at everybody, right, while taking a shit. You know. So then. I tell Brian Swinehart, my other coach, I'm like, dude, look at this mom that I matched with. He goes, let me see that. He goes, dude, I had sex with her like 12 years ago. I remember like the same woman, right? So
it was his kid.
Well, yeah. So that was the running joke. I was like, Brian, your kid keeps crying. Like every time his kid was like, I'm like, Brian, talk to your kid. He doesn't want to wrestle. Like we kept calling him Brian's kid. He didn't know why.
That's a shame.
You'd be like, well, what month were you born, kid? Oh, I was born in November. Oh, yeah, see, we broke up, like, in February. So there's no way that's my
kid. He kind of looked like Brian, to be honest.
Hopefully he wasn't. Okay, I'm not going to. I like Brian.
Yeah. Well, I think Brian, I called him up because he's like, he went all the way into Trump, like beyond.
Yeah.
He tried to fight everybody on Facebook. Like Trump wants to fight you. So I called him up and said I was like part of the Proud Boys and I wanted to recruit him. I'm like, hey, this is Steve from the Toledo Proud Boys. We want you to become a member. And he's like, yeah, I'm not. He's like, I agree with some of the stuff you say. I'm like, well, we have mixes with the Proud Girls. He's like, I'm in, right? And then he said, and I'm like, we also want you to perform at the Proud Boys comedy shows at the VFWs. I'm like, dude, it's me, you fucking asshole. He's like, you got me, man. I'm like, you're the most vulnerable fucking guy.
And then, wouldn't it have been ironic? And that's what I was referring to mostly about. He's a kind of a sweet natured, good, gullible person. That whole other stuff. That, you know, listen, everybody had their things. So,
yeah.
I couldn't help but think of the irony if he joined him but was ashamed of it. That would have been weird. I don't know.
Oh, because he's not proud.
Right. He's like, listen, I'm part of the Proud Boys, but I don't like to talk about it. Like, wait, what?
I'm not proud of it. Dude, that's ridiculous.
Did you ever see their like initiation video?
No.
It's like, it's like seven guys like punch you in the arm while you have to like name like 35 cereals or something. So you're like Rice Krispies while guys are hitting.
So it's like a seventh grade sleepover.
Yeah, basically. You have to name like 10, like Frost. So the guy's like Frosted Flakes, Rice Krispies, Captain Crunch while people are punching him in the arm. Like,
that's odd.
Yeah, that's not exactly how you get jumped into most gangs, but okay.
Oh, God. Anyway, what do you got coming up, Greg?
Next Wednesday, the 19th, I'm going to be doing my full headliner set here in L.A., which we never get to do in L.A. We do a lot of spots in L.A., but it's always 10 minutes, 15 minutes, maybe 20 minutes. But to be able to actually do your full headliner set is a rare thing. So I'm going to be doing that next Wednesday night, May 19th, at the Haha Comedy Club. And you can get tickets for that at hahacomedyclub.com.
And you, Sean?
I'm getting an MRI Thursday. I don't know if that counts. That's about all I got going on.
Nice.
Now, how much are tickets for that?
I don't know, but I'll tell you what. I told my doctor I need like something because I'm extremely claustrophobic, and she immediately accused me of being a drug addict. I'm like, all right, I give it. I don't necessarily need narcotics. Just can you give me anything that maybe make me a little less claustrophobic? It's like, listen, I can't prescribe a bunch of pills. Like, all right, because no one's ever been claustrophobic in an MRI before, right? That's unheard of. So.
If you want to see Sean McCorkle get stuck in a tube, we're gonna be zooming in. Tickets available. At MMA Roasted.
So Thursday night, I'm in Temecula doing a show. It's at adamhuntercomedy.com if you want to know where it is. And then Friday night, where am I? Friday, I'm at Laughlin, Nevada. And then Saturday.
You mean Laughlin, Nevada?
Yeah. Saturday, I'm in Bakersfield.
At first, I thought that was like the name of the comedy club.
So
like,
did I. I thought it was Laughlin and Laughlin. Yeah.
Exactly. I was like, I'm playing the Laughlin in Laughlin, Nevada. But no, you're just an illiterate. Okay.
So hold on. Let me actually read it because I should actually say where these places are, right? By the way, Phil Baroni called me. He wants to fight Diego Sanchez in bare knuckle boxing. If you guys think that's a good idea, let me know. What do you guys think?
If the Jake Paul thing doesn't work out, maybe.
Yeah, I'm going to go with a big old sure.
I kind of picture that fight being on Mike Tyson's punch out and Diego turn it upside down during the middle of it, spinning towards you, and then you can't like hit him. It's like some kind of special move he's got.
All right, I'm at Mad Madeline's Grill in Temecula this Thursday night. The Riverside Resort Hotel in Laughlin.
Oh, I love the Riverside.
Bakersfield, We Own the Laughs. Hollywood Laugh Factory, Sunday night. I'm at the Hollywood Roosevelt on the 21st. The OB Fuck House in San Diego on the 27th of May. I'm at a new.
Hold on one second. Did you just say the OB Fuck House?
Yeah.
That's what I was wondering.
Are you going to Thailand? Is that what you're telling us? You're performing at the OB Fuck House in Thailand.
Yeah, yes. Saturday, May 30th, Sunday, I'm at a nudist colony in Temecula.
Also, we should call that the OB Fuck House.
I was going to say, that's the OG Fuck House.
Right.
Dude, they have like a nude cruise. Every time that, they had a nude cruise where everyone's like nude on it. My friend worked it. He said that it smelled so bad because they turned off the air conditioner because otherwise it would freeze. So, and then he was the comic on it and people got offended he was too dirty. the whole crowd was naked. So, and then I'm at
that goes in the category of people.
June 11th, I'm at our community in French Valley. June 18th in Temecula. June 18th, I'm at Grapes and Grains in Temecula, as well as the Happy Days Bar and Grill in San Diego. I'm at Laughs Unlimited in Sacramento on June 23rd. So if you guys want to come check out.
You guys are a lot busier than I am.
Who is your booking agent? Is your booking agent just a monkey with a computer? He's like, I got you a gig at the bump.
Mayhem Miller is from jail, is doing my booking. No kidding. Anyway, so we're gonna have, I think Mayhem's gonna come back next week. We'll see how he's doing. Actually,
maybe, well, I look forward to seeing him. I hope he can. You know, it's always good to see him.
Yeah. No, he can't wait to tell me these fight stories about in jail. I guess there was like some kind of, he was training people, but he said one guy was actually pretty good, but he had gang tattoos. So he didn't know how well he would do. He had to get him covered up, I guess. At 170. Anyway, listen.
I thought you meant his fighting ability to be affected by the tattoos. I was like, if it didn't hurt Alan Belcher, it ain't going to hurt anybody. Like, bad tattoos.
I was going to say, and then you were like, I guess you can't do that at 170. I'm like, so if you're 155, you can have all the gang tattoos you want. What are you fucking saying here? Oh, 205 gang tattoos, but not 170. That is the one division can't have gang tattoos.
Like, I hate cutting to 55, but, you know, this tattoo.
These tattoos, yeah, they don't erase.
Anyway, you guys are the best. This makes me laugh every week.
See you, man.
All right, brother. I love you. We'll talk soon.
More. Take care.